Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Pop quiz time. Name Oxygen's longest running series. The answer and a key person involved with this long run leads off today's episode. Snapped is the series, starting year 13 in August with more than 300 episodes. And the 300 episode plays this Sunday night, along with a marathon of recent editions. Sharon Martin is the co-executive producer, and if you recognize the voice, yes, she's the narrator, and she joins me next. Greenleaf made a splash on the Oprah Winfrey Network Tuesday night. More than 3 million viewers caught the debut, the most ever for a series launched there. This megachurch-minded drama from Memphis promises to boost Owen in times ahead. And Emmy-nominated creator, writer, and executive producer Craig Wright heads in our direction next half hour in an internet radio exclusive. Also ahead, Step Up Goes YouTube, and the answer to this week's classic trivia question. Hey everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later this half hour. Happy to have you with us on this Friday afternoon. 83 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. Another gorgeous day in the Big Apple, and a gorgeous one for you as we bring you the program All About Television. The perfect people coming your way in the next hour, and we invite you to be involved with them, and it's so easy to do. Give us a ring. The number you use is 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, all around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio. We have a chat room in business as well. You'll find it at blogtalkradio.com/televised, our homepage. It's not an Apple 04 by name, and it's just waiting to get your replies. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people will be live with you. Sharon Martin from Snap joins us from Charlotte, North Carolina, after these news notes. Step Up, launched a decade ago, will graduate from movie series to television series next year. YouTube Red, the premium TV network carried on smart TVs and smart TV-making gear like current Google's Chromecast, will offer Step Up as its first scripted drama. Original Step Up co-stars Channing and Dandelion Tatum will executive produce the series, joined by movie producers Adam Shankman, Jennifer Gibgo, and Meredith Milton. Lionsgate will oversee the series, which, like the films, deals with dancers at a school for the performing arts. Also in 2017, YouTube Red will begin a comedy series with personalities Rhett and Link, an animated satire of paranormal investigations. And that's news notes for today. Back in the 1960s, Bing Crosby Productions, the people that did Ben Casey, did a companion series for a season on ABC called Breaking Point. It was all about men and women who had to seek psychiatric help because their lives had reached, yes, the breaking point. Well, you could say that over the last 12 years, Oxygen has had a breaking point type show of its own, except for two things. One, the situations are all true, and secondly, they all deal with women who, when they snapped, turned to a life of crime, in some cases, murder. Snapped has been on Oxygen for more than 12 years, and will go into year 13 this August. The 300th episode, however, will premiere this Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, following a six-hour marathon of recent episodes. Joining us live from Charlotte, North Carolina, is the co-executive producer and the narrator of Snapped, Sharon Martin. Welcome in, Sharon.
Hi, Simon. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you, Sharon. First of all, how is everybody feeling about reaching this kind of milestone, actually two milestones, 13 years on the air and 300 episodes as of Sunday night?
Well, I think when we started back in 2004, I don't know that we imagined we would still be on the air 300 episodes later, but honestly, we're in production several episodes beyond this, so at some point, we're actually approaching 350, so we're going and still going strong, and we're excited about it.
What do you think the program is as popular as it is? What makes the show tick and has ticked for so long?
Well, I think when we started, we were one of the first shows that profiled women who committed murder. So it was really, it was sort of a novelty at the time, but there's such an appetite for crime television, you know, across all of the networks now, and that's only been growing and continues to grow. And what I think a lot of it is there's very much a sense that these are true stories. These are people who might live next door to you. There's a very sort of visceral, oh, that reminds me of the lady across the street nature to these stories. And I think also we've made a point of choosing cases of people who feel relatable to our viewers so that you do sort of, you watch the story and go, oh, yeah, I went to that high school, or I know a lady who worked as a nurse, and I can't believe that this is how this woman ended up. And watching those choices that lead these women from normal suburban lives down to, you know, they're in court and sentenced to life in prison, I think that's a real appeal for people in a very sort of voyeuristic way.
What motivated the show in the first place? Was you or someone on your staff at Jupiter Entertainment, which makes the show, did they read about a case like this and say, this has the makings of a series or at least as a special?
I think, Jupiter has always done crime television. They were doing City Confidential at the time when this show was pitched to Oxygen. Oxygen was a woman-focused network, very female-focused at the time, too. And so I think it was just a natural melding of, we do crime and you want a show that focuses on women. Let's look at women who commit crime. And it was also, as I said, it was just one of those areas that wasn't at the time being explored to the depth that it is now.
Mm-hmm. So when it was time to get this series launched and to focus on case number one, much more cases, you know, 200 to 300, how easy was it or how difficult was it to get that first case documented?
I mean, in the beginning, we were choosing from any of the cases that had happened at the time. So it was sort of the first. So it was, it was an open book. But there was also the very first season of Snapped. Focused on very wealthy women who killed their husbands for money. So it was a very specific kind of story. As we've progressed over the years and as we've, as times have changed, we've really sort of dialed down and opened that up to a much more relatable person. While those first few stories were salacious and very media heavy, it was there was an attorney in Texas who ran over her husband a couple of times with the car. I mean, there are lots of, like, really key stories in the very beginning, but now we've opened it up, and there are a lot more stories that take place in small towns across America. They're not necessarily stories that you saw, on the national news. And so we've sort of it's evolved over the years into a much broader, sort of a broader range of stories.
Mm-hmm. Well, welcome Rick Webb, our good friend from Philadelphia, into our chat room. Simon Apple 04 by name. You can find him on blogtalkradio.com/televised, our homepage. So either use that chat room to get your thoughts in and your questions too, or use our phone, 646-652-2906. When Snap was being formed, it's easy to say Snap. How did you come up with the title? Was there a sort of a pattern that was developing among the cases that you researched and say, hey, look, that's the title. I mentioned Breaking Point, the old medical drama, which is now, by the way, on YouTube, and it's a great show if you haven't seen it, with Paul Richards and the great actor Edward Franz from Bing Crosby, the Ben Casey people. And as I said, it deals with fictional stories of people who at some point reach the breaking point. There's something about their personality or something medical or mindset happens to them that all of a sudden they go out of kilter.
I think very much the title was about something catchy and getting the idea across to people that something has happened. And it's a great title for an IPG. It's a great title for your TV guide and just to get people's attention. Really, the stories that we tell have evolved a little bit beyond that title as well. A lot of women, while it might seem from the outside as if they snapped, some of them, these are premeditated crimes. I like to look at it, though, as there's a point with every one of these cases where something has gone wrong in their brains. Like they have made that snap decision to cross the lines that most of us live within. So it's very much the title was about being, a little bit provocative. And so we've grown into that a bit.
Mm-hmm. So when did the series make the turn from being just about wealthy women who were committing these murders or committing these crimes to a more broader palette of America?
Really, it was at the end of season one, I think, when we realized that this was going to be a series that could that would have legs and would continue for a while. We wanted to broaden out the story availability and sort of the idea of, you know, there's only so much that you can relate to a woman who killed somebody over millions and millions of dollars. But when you start talking about really the sort of smaller issues that people really live with in marriages and in home lives, and when you start to look at those, that actually is really much more relatable to our viewers.
Snapped, which has been on the air since 2004, celebrates its 300th episode this Sunday night, 9 p.m. East Pacific time on Oxygen, and that follows a six-hour marathon of some of the more recent episodes of the series. Sharon Martin is the co-executive producer, as the voice is familiar, yes, she is the narrator of the series, has been from the get-go. She joins us live from Charlotte, North Carolina this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom and Applebaum, up the coast from where she is here in New York, 83 degrees at the top of the hour. You have a question or comment for Sharon, go ahead and give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Three episodes coming your way to finish up the first half of 2016 and kick off the second half, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, at this very same time period. Coming on Monday, rugby, which is going to become a sport in the Olympics in August, has its own original 24/7 sports channel. All sports, all rugby all the time. But here's the catch. In order to watch it, you can't do it on broadcast TV. You can't do it on cable TV. You have to get Amazon Fire or Google TV, Google Chromecast, Roku, or Apple TV. We will talk to the former head of Fox Sports in Espanol, who heads the rugby channel. His name is David Sternberg. He was on our program when he was doing Fox Sports Espanol, and he'll be back with us on Monday. And then we'll introduce you to someone who's had a lot of experience in the world of unscripted reality television. And she's just written a book about it. Her name is Deborah Wolf, and the book is 1 Year of Reality and How It Nearly Killed Me. At one point, she worked on three series in the same year, The Mole, Fear Factor, and the Emmy Award-winning The Amazing Race. Deborah Wolf joins us live Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. First of three episodes next week. Sharon, as time went on, how many of the cases you profiled came from viewers? How many of them came from local state and local police authorities in terms of, you know, getting the material?
You know, that's the longer we've been at this and the more cities we've visited, the more we get contact from people we've talked with. And then really in the last couple of years with the advent of social media and really that connection to viewers, we get more and more stories that come to us that way. Although I have to give a lot of credit, we have a research team, our pre-production team, and they are scouring, you know, news sites and internet sites and court records, and they are always on top of these. So often by the time someone is sending us a story or calling us about a story, we've already started a file on those. So it's, you know, it's probably a smaller percentage that comes to us from viewers.
A few years ago, I talked with one of the producers of Undercover Boss on CBS, and I asked about how difficult it was to get that first episode on the air, which was with Waste Management. And because we were dealing with executives who had to go undercover to see how their companies really were going, that was very difficult to get someone to cooperate because they were concerned about being embarrassed on camera. When you started this up 12 years ago and you're doing your first cases, was there any concern from the subjects or the victims that they were going to be exploited or that, you know, it wasn't going to be covered in such a way that would be sensitive to them?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's always a concern when you're talking about real people and their real lives and their stories. What for us is a television show is their daily existence. And so it's always a concern. Even now, I mean, it's always a conversation that our field crews have to have. And we, you know, the very first episodes, we were unproven. At that time, Oxygen was still a very new network, and so a lot of times it was about having to tell people exactly what Oxygen was and what Snapped was and what our goals were. For Jupiter, we had the benefit of being the people who were making City Confidential, so we had a little bit of a reputation from that, that we were people who knew what we were doing and had told these stories before. And even, you know, and now we sort of rest on our reputation of the last 13 years or 12 years of we make a point of making sure these stories are told in a way that's fair and very balanced. My background is in journalism, so we always want to make sure that the show is true to the people involved.
How long does it take to put an episode together? How much of it is roughly, you know, the actual interview, the actual documenting of the crime, what led to it, and how much of it's recreation?
We spend about 10 days in the field. There's usually several weeks of pre-pro before that of gathering files and reaching out to people and setting things up. And then we spend about 2 months per episode in post-production. The recreations make up about 20% of the show. It's actually one day of shooting. So it's a small portion, but that sort of discounts the amount of research we're doing. You know, we spend a lot of time figuring out the pacing of the episode and what that's going to look like, and then we film the recreations in one day and incorporate those into the episode. So the recreations come out, I think it's about 25% of the actual show content. The rest of it, really, as much as possible, we try to get, you know, the actual interrogation tapes, the actual crime scene photos. We talk to the actual detectives involved, the attorneys, when we can, families of the victim, families of the offender. And if, you know, in some cases, we've been able to get into prison and talk to the offenders themselves.
Now, how did you or somebody come up with the idea that you should narrate the show?
I actually started narrating the show in season three. The very first season was actually narrated by the actress Laura Sangiacomo. At some point, I think they decided that when they changed the direction of the first season, they went to just a standard voiceover. And I was doing, I was a producer on the series, and I was doing all the temp track, the scratch tracks. And at some point when they were looking for a narrator for season three, it sort of became a, well, you're already doing it. Why don't we try that? My background was in news. I did some radio in the early days. And so it just seemed like a natural fit. And I am still doing that now in season 17.
Hmm. Since the show has gone on the air, how has it impacted the way that these crimes are investigated? Have local authorities or state authorities or even national authorities taken new directions in terms of how they investigate these crimes so that they are more solvable, or that they, whether they use DNA or whether they adopted some techniques that helps them solve the crime faster, in fact, to get solved?
You know, I think the biggest change that we've seen from the, you know, as we've covered cases over the years, is the abundance of cell phone and computer searches. You know, we find that a lot of these cases are the evidence that closes the case for them is cell phone tracking, where these women have made cell phone calls, they've sent text messages, they've carried their cell phones with them, and also, you know, the online searches. As ridiculous as it sounds, there are genuinely cases where women have searched how to poison someone with antifreeze right before they poison someone with antifreeze. So it's very much, I mean, the advent of, you know, cell phone technology and laptops and computers and the police's ability to search those things has really, we've seen that grow. We've even seen a lot of tracking of social media in recent cases where they're tracking people and seeing what they're doing on social media as a way to close their cases. So that's changed a lot. I think, you know, we started, DNA was fairly prevalent when we started covering these cases, aside from some of the cold cases that had been unsolved. So really that has been the biggest, I think, advent.
How has social media and how are websites impacted what cases you showcase? For example, I noticed that when you watch court shows like Judge Judy, The People's Court, et cetera, there are many more cases now that involve issues with Craigslist, issues with eBay, issues with other websites. Similar situation with your program?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think that, you know, it's such a big part of everyday life for everyone now that when someone is in conflict with another person, the likelihood of that being, you know, played out on social media. You know, we also had another series for Oxygen called Killer Post, which focused specifically on social media-related crimes. But people who are fighting, and then they take their fight to social media, and now it's become a public embarrassment, and that sort of ramps up the stakes and ramps up the ego involved. And so that's come up much more often. There's also, you know, in the relationship arena of, you know, jealous husbands and wives checking each other's social media and finding things out that triggers some sort of action. There's a lot of that now, too, that didn't exist when we first started.
Sharon, earlier this week, we had the incredible sight on Capitol Hill of members of the House Democrats stage a sit-down to protest the lack of voting on a bill dealing with gun control, specifically terrorists who are on the no-fly list getting access to guns. And we had the unique case of when C-SPAN turned off the cameras, because the House controls those cameras inside that part of Capitol Hill, Periscope was used to keep people informed about what was going on. Are you starting with episodes to use things like Periscope and Vine and Instagram and some of the more advanced forms, Meekrat and some of the more advanced forms of social media?
I think we're not seeing as much of that yet. It takes a little bit longer because we're covering cases that are adjudicated. So they're usually a couple of years ago, and those are – there's a little less of that. I think as we move forward, we're probably going to see more cases of that, you know, and the police really are getting a lot more savvy with those things as well. And so their ability to surveil people via apps like that, to tap into that sort of thing as they're investigating people, I think we're going to see more of it. I have no doubt.
Snapped, which has been running for 12 years on Oxygen, has two milestones happening this summer. One is coming Sunday night, the 300th episode, 9 p.m. Pacific time, and then year 13 starts in August. Sharon Martin is the narrator and the co-executive producer of the series. She's live with us from Charlotte, North Carolina this half hour. On tomorrow, we'll be televised. Happy you're live with us, too, wherever you are, across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio. Simon Applebaum, based in Nueva York. If you have a question or comment for Sharon, give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. You'll find it at blogtalkradio.com/televised, our homepage, and Rick Webb, our good friend from Philadelphia, is in the room. Coming up next Wednesday on Tomorrow Beach Televised, we have the winner of the American Black Film Festival's Best Screenplay for Television Contest, and her work called Bad Dad Rehab gets a premiere in 2 weeks on TV1. You will meet the winner from last year, Corenda, otherwise known as Kiki McKnight. And our good friend Bill Richmond from Video News will join us as well. We'll talk about the first half of 2016 and what it's meant for smart TV sets and smart TV devices like Roku, Apple TV, Google Chromecast, Amazon Fire, and so on, and what is coming our way with all of that the second half of this year. That's all coming up Wednesday, special edition at our regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Sharon, has there ever been a case in all the 300 episodes where you were ready to go to bed with a show, it was ready to premiere, and by the way, you hear from local authorities, the case got solved?
Well, because we focus on cases that are already adjudicated, they've already been to trial and someone has been sentenced, that typically doesn't happen. What we do have happen is after we've aired a case, you know, something has changed, whether it's an appeal. We just saw updates on two of our cases where the women have been granted new trials, and so they'll be starting over, and at some point we'll have to update those episodes. There was one case that we will actually air Sunday during the marathon, Sheila Davalou. We went out and did this in one of the early seasons. It was a 30-minute case. She was just accused of attempted murder of her husband. At the time, there was some suspicion that she might have been involved in another case, but nothing that they could charge her with. A few years later, we stayed in touch with the detectives and the victim's family, and she was eventually charged with the murder of a man she was in love with who was not her husband, of his girlfriend. And so that case came back around, and we ended up doing a second episode on that case in particular because of the story and how much the story had changed.
So what will episode 300 be about on Sunday night?
It is the case of Katrina Benn. She is a nurse who is accused in an interesting murder, but it's one of those cases where they didn't know what had happened to the victim for some time, so it was very much a would she get away with it case.
And in terms of other projects at Jupiter Entertainment, what can you tell us about any new shows that you'll be launching this coming year or this coming summer?
Oh, Jupiter is super busy. Let's see, I'm trying to think of all the projects we're involved in. So we've got several shows for Oxygen. We do Killer Couples and Killer Post, and then we've got other, I mean, we've got so many shows in the pipeline right now. Honestly, we're working with Reels on a series for National Enquirer, and just a variety of programs. So chances are, if you're watching it, it may very well be a Jupiter Entertainment show.
Mm-hmm. Any thoughts about getting into scripted TV at some point with a fully-fledged scripted show?
I know that that's always something that we're interested in. I don't know that there's anything I can talk about at this point.
Mm-hmm. Well, what we have been talking about is SNAT, and it is now wrapping up its 12th year, going to year 13 in August, and this Sunday night, 300 episodes. The 300th happens Sunday, 9:30 Pacific time. Before that, a six-hour marathon of recent episodes from 3 to 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Check your local listings where Oxygen appears in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, go to www.oxygen.com. That's www.oxygen.com. Sharon Martin, co-executive producer and narrator of SNAP, congratulations on the great run, episode 300 Sunday. Thanks for joining us, and all the very best to you and your fellow Jupiter folks for a great continued run with this show and many more programs to come.
Thank you, Simon. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Have a wonderful weekend. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Sharon Martin, co-executive producer and narrator of SNAP. Sunday nights at 9 on Oxygen. Joining us live from Charlotte, North Carolina. We'll have the answer to this week's classic trivia question, but first, some words from the fine people at Audible.com. The Twilight Zone is one of the great television programs of all time. You may have heard from us that there's now an effort to revive the series with some interactive elements. But if you don't want to wait that long, you can right now get a wonderful new Twilight Zone radio drama collection. And the place you can find it is Audible.com. Audible.com is a wonderful way to hear the best of audio around. That's why it's a leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information with over 180,000 titles to choose from, like the Twilight Zone radio dramas, with wonderful actors giving rise to Rod Serling, Richard Matheson, Charles Beaumont, their best episodes in audio form. Plus, you can listen to any of the wonderful work from Audible on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now through Blog Talk Radio. Remember, if you sign up at this URL, audibletrial.com/televised, that's audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook like the Twilight Zone radio dramas and a one-month trial. And given the fact that Audible comes from the fine people at Amazon.com, you know the customer service is always going to be king of the hill. And if you're not in Twilight Zone, but you're into science fiction, try Star Wars, narrated by Mark Hamill and Anthony Daniels, and so much more. That's why it's a great variety of titles to choose from of any genre. So check out this URL right now, audibletrial.com/televised. audibletrial.com/televised. Get that free trial book, get that one-month trial, get great customer service, and most importantly, get your ears tuned to wonderful audio entertainment, information, and yes, inspiration through audible.com. And now it's time for the answer to this week's classic trivia question. Sorry, once again, no winner. And so, unfortunately, we'll not be awarding Twin Peaks FAQ, the new book about that classic ABC series, and the upcoming Showtime revival for next year, published by Applause Books. The question we posed on Monday was, who played Sky King? That's the popular 1950s television series. Well, the answer? He was a pilot, and yes, he was a Sky King in real life. Kirby Grant, he's also a terrific actor and a great role model when Sky King was on, originally on various broadcast networks in the 1950s and syndication through the mid-1960s. Kirby Grant, that's the answer to this week's classic trivia question. We'll have a new one for you on Monday's program, and if you know the answer when we pose it, email me with that answer, and you could win Twin Peaks FAQ, published by Applause Books. The way you do it? You email simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember to enclose your name and your full mailing address. Being the win, first correct answer does win the prize. You can also use Twitter to pop that answer through. It's hashtag TWBT. That's hashtag TWBT. That Twitter option is made available by the wonderful people at Hopscotch, the folks who invite you to create your own social soundtrack. So check out what Marty Monaco and his wonderful people have in store online at hopscotch.com, www.hopscotch.com. So you can either email the answer or tweet the answer. Either way, first correct answer wins. And if you can't catch the question on Monday, no problem. I'll post it Tuesday morning on my Facebook page and on my own Twitter hashtag at UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. And because we have an extra episode on Wednesday, we'll also repeat the question on our Wednesday episode as well. But remember, in order to be in and win, you've got to be in first. So check us out on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You get about our classic trivia questions of the week. And guess what? This time next Friday, you could be our winner. You are listening to Tomorrow Televised. We're on the program All About the Tube with you Monday, Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific here on Blog Talk Radio. Extra episode coming away on Wednesday. Remember, coming up on Monday's show, we'll tell you about the Rugby Channel. It's the newest single sport network around. The catch is, you can't catch on broadcast, you can't catch on cable, you can't catch on multicast. You got to go to Roku, Apple TV, Amazon Fire TV, Google Chromecast, to catch it. And we've got the person who's making it happen, the former head of Fox Sports in Espanol, David Sternberg. We will also speak with author Deborah Wolfe. At one point in her TV career, she worked on three unscripted shows at the same time, The Amazing Race, The Mole, and The Fear Factor. And those exploits are now chronicled in a brand new book called 1 Year of Reality and How It Nearly Killed Me by Life Behind the Scenes. Deborah Wolfe joins us. That's Monday, 3:30 Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. Remember, if you want to catch up on episodes you missed, and we've had some dandies lately with people like Jeremy Podeswa, the Emmy-nominated director of Game of Thrones, the people from Series Fest, who are now doing their thing in the Rocky Mountain Highlands of Denver. Well, all you have to do is go to our homepage anytime and check it out. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And remember, every Monday here in the New York area, you can catch me from noon to one on VK Live. It's VRIT TV's daily noon hour talk variety culture show about all things Brooklyn and beyond. You can catch me on Mondays at VRIT TV. That's NYCY on Verizon Fios, throughout Brooklyn on Charter, formerly Time Warner Cable, Cable Systems and RCN. And yes, it's posted as well at youtube.com/VRIT TV. youtube.com/VRIT TV. When we come back, Emmy-nominated creator, writer, executive producer of the new success on Oprah Winfrey Network, Greenleaf, will join us live from Los Angeles. That's coming up after we call it after the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for the Hageman Report, Truth Unfiltered. Get to the truth. It's coming up next after we go off the air. That's 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, that's the BTR available to you 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow We Televise on this June afternoon, Friday 2016. Simon Applebaum here with you live from New York. Another great guest coming your way this half hour, and we invite you to be part of the program just by calling in at 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Our very good friend, Rick Webb from Philly, still in the room. This past Tuesday night, the Oprah Winfrey Network had a great surprise for viewers, its first original drama in quite some time. It's called Greenleaf, and it did great. So great, it was the highest-rated new series debut in the five-year history of the network, with more than 3 million viewers. It was a two-night premiere, Tuesday night and Wednesday night, and if you missed that, you're in luck because this Friday, tonight, at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, the first episode will be repeated, and then the new episode will be running at its regular time, Wednesday night at 10. Joining us live from Los Angeles in an internet radio exclusive interview, the creator, writer, and executive producer of Greenleaf, Emmy nominee, Craig White. Craig, congratulations. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you very much. It's great to talk to you. I appreciate all the enthusiasm and interest in the show. Thank you.
You're very, very welcome, Craig. What's been the reaction from the own followers to your show so far?
Well, I think it's been incredibly positive. I think the audience is really trusting the show to deliver an honest but respectful portrayal of a family set against the backdrop of the church, and I think that they know our heart's in the right place, and so they're really ready to go for the ride.
Mm-hmm. What made you decide, along with Oprah, as well as Clement Virgo, the wonderful director and executive producer of shows like The Wire and last year's wonderful miniseries Book of Negroes on BET? We had him on, by the way, when we did that series. How did you all get together to put this project on?
Hold on. I just want to make sure that I feel like I'm in a bit of a noise. Is that better?
Yep, much better. Don't hear the noise.
Well,
good to go.
It all started when I sat down with Oprah. And she and I started talking about the notion of doing a show in a black church. She and I met around the rollout of her documentary called Belief. I was invited to come look at an early cut of that and give my thoughts on it. And we just started talking about, you know, with Empire on the air, wouldn't it be great to do a show about a black church? And I had previously been a minister. and not in a black church, obviously, and Oprah was well aware of that. But we just kept talking, and it just slowly came together. And then when we found Clement, we knew we had the perfect directing partner, and just very, very blessed.
It's so interesting, Craig, that we are seeing this year a number of shows, scripted shows, deal with faith. Your program, The Path, from Hulu, which we did earlier this year, it's up for a second season. There's Bounce TV Saints and Sinners also dealing with matters of faith. Why do you think we're seeing so much on the air now dealing with faith, dealing with issues of faith, whether it's church, synagogue, or just the basic how we as people deal with spirituality?
Well, I think it's because of the internet itself. I think the internet has just created such a democratization of information. So a lot of things that were previously thought to be unapproachable, now, since there's so many voices speaking about everything, and since the fact-checking capability of the average viewer or the average consumer is so high thanks to the internet, a lot of topics that used to feel like, well, we can't really approach those high places and really look at them. Now, it's sort of everything is fair game. And so I think people are really ready to start taking a closer look at the inner lives and the inner workings of these places of power where faith is transmitted.
Mm-hmm. How long did it take you, Oprah, everyone, to get this series off the ground? And at what point did all of you come together with, this is the way we want to do this? This is the way that we want to make this. Obviously, we want to make this entertaining. We want to make this involving. We want to make this diverse, but we also want to say something with it.
Well, I mean, it took a little while, but it happened very quickly, in the sense that once that conversation between Oprah was going, it became pretty clear that we wanted to do it. That we went through several different iterations of what the show might ultimately look like, and even as late as when we hired Clement and he came on, and we had a house picked out to shoot the show in, and Clement went down there and said, that house isn't going to be good enough. We need a different house. So there was a lot of creative roiling and boiling, trying to make sure we got everything right. But I think compared to a lot of television development experiences, this happened relatively quickly, and that's because I was in conversation with the president of the network from day one, so that kept it simple.
And now we have the president of the network backing as the executive producer. She's also acting as well.
Yeah, and she's obviously amazing, supporter, an amazing person to work for. I couldn't be luckier.
So explain what happens here. We're dealing with a mega church in Memphis, the family that runs the church, and pick up the story from there.
Well, yeah, the story begins when the eldest daughter, who had previously been a child prodigy as a preacher, but who left when she was young because of some complexities in the family, returns home for the funeral of her sister after her sister commits suicide. And she ends up finding out from her Aunt Mavis, played by Oprah, in the pilot, that the things that perhaps drove her sister to eventually kill herself aren't just a thing of the past, but they're happening again, that there's sexual abuse going on, and that Grace, the sister who's returned, can possibly do something to stop it and bring the perpetrator to justice. And so instead of just stopping by for the funeral, she sticks around, and it sends the whole family into a state of imbalance because there's all kinds of power structures in this family that begin to get shaken up once they realize that Grace isn't going to go away.
Mm-hmm. And then from where does the direction go? What kind of things do you explore? What kind of family dynamics do you explore?
Well, I mean, it's all the stuff that you see on any family show. You know, there's sibling rivalries and there's jockeying for power. You've got this son, Jacob, who after Grace left, stepped up and sort of took over, and he and his wife certainly don't want Grace to get back into the fondness of her father, who's the bishop and the leader of the church. You've got the younger sister, Charity, who's the singer and the exalter in the community, and she doesn't want her older sister to come and overshadow her again. And then you've also got a crime story unfolding where a young black male is shot by a black cop, and all the politics around that because this guy happens to be a member of the church. And Grace ends up shaking that story up as well. And so you've got family stuff, you've got politics, you've got and you've got all of these characters constantly reflecting back towards their own faith, examining their own actions at the end of every day in the light of what they think is true about God, and that makes the show very unique.
1 to 3 million people saw the premiere Tuesday night of Greenleaf, and the first episode will be premiering again tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on OWN, the Oprah Winfrey Network. And the next original episode will be at regular time, which is Wednesdays, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific. Craig Wright is the Emmy-nominated creator, writer, executive producer of Greenleaf, which is, by the way, overseen by Lionsgate. We mentioned them earlier because they're doing Step Up for YouTube Red, as we mentioned in the news note at the top of the show. And Craig joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Applebaum live with you from New York on Blog Talk Radio. Happy you're aboard, 83 degrees at the top of the hour. And you have a question or comment for Craig, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up on Wednesday, we're doing three episodes next week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, at the same hour. We'll have among our guests Will Richmond. He is the editor of Video News, and he's done a lot of studying about what's going on in the world of smart TV sets and smart devices like Roku, Apple TV, Google Chromecast, and the rest. He'll let us know how things have gone the first half of this year, what we can expect the second half. Will Richmond from Video News, that's Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And incidentally, we hope to have a week from 2 weeks from today on this program. We will be on a special time, 11 a.m. Eastern Pacific, and among our guests will be, in one of our first national interviews, the new commissioner of the New York City Office of Media Entertainment, Julie Menin. As Julie Menin, 2 weeks from today, at a special time, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Craig, how much of Greenleaf is based on your experiences in the ministry? How much is based on what Oprah's gone through? How much is based on Clemens gone through and other people involved, your writers, your directors, and so on?
Well, the main impulse behind the show comes from when I was a minister and I was working at a church, and I asked a question one day of the senior minister. And he took offense sort of at my question, and he said to me, "Craig, you can either work in the church or on the church, but you can't do both." And that was his way of sort of saying, if you're going to work here, you don't get to ask things like that. You just have to sort of do it. And so that always stuck with me, and so I always wanted to do a show about a church so that I could ask those questions out loud because I knew that they were questions everybody had. So that's the deepest reflection of my experience. What's exciting for me about this show is it's about a black church. I wasn't in a black church working. I wasn't raised in the black church. So I came to work every day working on this show, really excited to be learning stuff that I never knew about before. And that, to me, is the greatest gift. Oprah had a similar experience where she started, you know, to question some of the leaders in her church when she was a young person. And she found that those questions weren't welcome either. And so I think her experience that has also fit into the show. We really share a very earnest belief that the church can be questioned, should be questioned, and the church grows stronger through being questioned. Questioning the church isn't about taking it down. It's about making it stronger and showing people that you can ask the questions that are in your heart and there are answers to them. That doesn't mean they're easy answers, but you certainly can't have a place of faith where you're not allowed to ask questions. So that experience, I think, is the core. In terms of, like, this church being a picture of any other real church that ever existed, that's not the case at all. It's totally a composite. However, all the stories are, traceable back to things that anyone can read in the news. Stuff like this happens at churches all the time. And so even though we're not basing Greenleaf on any one church, we're not making things up. Everything that happens on the show happens somewhere.
Did you go down to Memphis to film?
No, we shot the show in Atlanta. And Clement and our DP, Francis Kenny, do a great job, along with our SFX folks, of cheating Atlanta for Memphis. I would love someday to actually go to Memphis and do some shooting there, though, because it's quite a picturesque city, and I think it would really be a great adventure for the actors and for the whole production to go there. But in the meantime, Atlanta is a great host to us, and we're very grateful to have the show placed there.
This has been a year, Craig, of so many breakout talents in front of the camera, especially among women. And it looks like your program has another one of so many, and her name is Merle Dandridge. She's one of the lead characters. Talk about working with her.
Well, Merle has a long, long history on Broadway and in the theater, and I come from theater, and so it's really great to work with her because she's got such deep reservoirs of talent and depth and experience. So you know you're really working with an amazing pro when you work with her. But in addition to that, she has her own history with faith, her own history with the church, and so when she came in to audition for this part, her commitment to this idea, to the search that this show was about, was just so sincere and so real. And Oprah and I both, you know, got out of that meeting that first time we met Merle. And we were like, that's Grace. There's just no getting around it. And I think Grace, Merle, along with all the actors who are on the show, really feel that this is a labor of love. They really feel like they've been drawn to this material for a reason. And that makes coming to work every day a really, really enriching adventure.
Mm-hmm. Her parents are played by two outstanding actors, Keith David, who many people remember from Community, and one of my all-time favorite actresses, Lynn Whitfield. I still remember the Josie Baker story, one of the great solo performances you will ever see on HBO or anywhere. Mm-hmm. What's it been like to work with these two veterans?
Amazing, amazing. I mean, anyone who's seen the show knows that they both are really bringing it, as they say. Keith is an amazing preacher, once in his life actually considered going into the ministry. And so he really, you know, blows the doors off the place when he does those preaching scenes, but also brings an amazing depth of dramatic power to the more serious storylines that he's involved in. And I'm really excited that audiences are going to get a chance to see him do the big dramatic stuff that he is deeply, deeply capable of doing. As for Lynn, exactly what you said. She's just an amazing actress. That Josephine Baker film on HBO was a landmark in everybody's mind. And to get to work with someone of that stature and that depth, and also someone who has such a deep relationship with the church, it makes the show just better all the time. I talk to Lynn all the time. Every time a script comes out, she calls me and gives me ideas, gives me feedback. And she's always right. And I'm just going to say that. Lynn is always right. And I love having her as a partner. Lady May is an amazing character, but Lynn makes her even more amazing every day. And I'm just so grateful to have her to work with on the show.
She's just one of those people that you do not see a bad performance. It's like it's guaranteed that no bad performance.
Yeah.
No matter what the movie is or no matter what the situation is, it's always, you know, a right-on performance.
Yeah, she takes the work so seriously, and she takes her character's point of view so seriously, and she's never trying to make the character more sympathetic or anything like that. She's just always trying to make the character more accurate and more specific, and you know, along with everybody on the show, she's just a great creative partner.
Greg, you've had a terrific career with a track record on some of the top shows of our generation, Lost, 6 Feet Under, Brothers and Sisters, all critically acclaimed, all, you know, long-running shows, all, you know, masterpieces one way or the other. Contrast what you're doing with Greenleaf with what you did for those shows. How have you grown, or how are you growing as a person creating television with this show compared to the other shows you've done, like a Lost or 6 Feet Under?
Well, what I'm most excited about on Greenleaf is that I feel more than I ever have in my life like I am a nexus. I'm just a place where all stories sort of comes in, and then I put together a quilt of everything I come to learn and everything I hear and understand, and I show it to everybody. I show it to the studio and the network and the actors, and I say, is this what you mean? And then the iterative process just goes on and on and on. I think of it far less in terms of creation and much more in terms of community. The day that Oprah and I decided to do the show, I immediately walked across the street and got two tattoos. My arms are covered with tattoos, by the way. So I got a tattoo on my right arm, which has an arrow heading up to my heart. And that was because I shake people's hands working on this project. I say, I'm not going to filter it. I'm just going to listen to people. And then I put an arrow going out in my left hand, and I write with my left hand. And I just, that was my way of saying that this process was going to be about listening and spitting it back to the community and saying, is this what you mean? Is this what you mean? And it's been an amazing adventure. And what I'm really happy about now that the audience seems to have really grabbed onto the show is that with Twitter and Facebook and all that, now the audience is going to become part of that feedback loop. And when we start crafting season two, we're definitely going to be thinking about all the things the audience caught and liked about season one, because this show is for that. It's for the audience. Oprah and I want to give people a place where they can not just be entertained, but also ask the questions they want to ask. And if those questions are out there to be asked, we want to ask them out loud in front of everybody on TV and keep the conversation growing.
The Sound Up Greenleaf continues Wednesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on OWN, the Oprah Winfrey Network. Craig Wright is the Emmy-nominated writer, creator, and executive producer of this series, which premiered this past Tuesday to great ratings and critical acclaim as well, including Entertainment Weekly, who gave the show a B, and also said it was very, very promising in a lot of different ways. Craig joins us live from Los Angeles this hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Happy you're with us this Friday afternoon here along the Blog Talk Radio route. If you have a question or comment for Craig, don't be shy. Make your voice go. 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Craig, at some point, do you think your series is going to address in dramatic fashion what took place last year in Charlotte, the mass shooting there?
My guess is, if it's ever the right thing to do, we'll do it. I think it's a very dangerous thing to take something that real and that delicate and to turn it into a product to sell people on television. That's it's a dangerous thing to do. So you really want to make sure that the integrity of the story, the integrity of the series requires it. Otherwise, I think it's best to leave something that huge alone. I would never want to cheapen or diminish the depth and mystery of that tragedy by saying, yeah, we're going to do a special hour of television about it. I mean, that would just be such an insult to all of the victims and the families of the victims of that tragedy. So if it's ever the right thing to do for our characters, yes. But until it's required by the narrative thrust of what we've already started rolling down the hill, I don't see it happening.
You mentioned a key plot line earlier dealing with police brutality. How has the audience responded to that?
Well, I think, that storyline is really going to kick in next Wednesday when episode 4 airs, which I really hope everyone will tune in for at 10 o'clock on Wednesday on OWN. That we really haven't dug in too deeply into that, but starting in episode 4 on Wednesday, it really becomes a major plot line for the season and a major plot line for Grace and her father and her mother to come to loggerheads about. So it hasn't really gotten going yet, but it's just about to.
Mm-hmm. Once again, another series from Lionsgate. It seems this company cannot do anything wrong when it comes to trying new series, trying them all over the place, and in some cases, like in the case of Nashville, finding ways to keep them on the air. What's it been like working with them?
I've never had a better experience with a studio than I've had with Lionsgate. They're amazing creative partners. They give you all the space you need to search far and wide for what you want to do creatively. And then they just seem to have a gift for knowing, what kind of questions to ask you so that you don't feel like a pressure or any of those typical feelings that people describe about, networks or studios. They just feel like friends who have an opinion, and it all feels very, very organic and humane. I think that's the key word, both for Lionsgate and for OWN. The whole process has been just immensely humane.
Mm-hmm. Incidentally, I want to point out that coming up later this year on the Oprah Winfrey Network is another original drama called Team Sugar, which will mark the television debut of the brilliant director Ava DuVernay from Selma fame, and I can tell you a lot of people are looking forward to that series and see what Ava does with that and with Oprah.
Yeah, I know Oprah has big plans for drama on her network, and Greenleaf was fortunate enough to be the first, but Queen Sugar is going to be amazing, and I know that her slate is just going to get more and more full with every passing day now that Greenleaf has done well for her.
That's great to hear. We look forward to covering it. We've been covering the Tyler Perry shows, some of the other original shows that they're doing all along. It's been a pleasure to do that, and we're looking forward to seeing what happens. And we'd love to have Baba on the show when that series comes. And Oprah, let Oprah know, I still have your phone mail messages. You are welcome on this program anytime. We'll do a full hour with you. Just to let her know that.
I'll tell her you said that.
You got it. Greenlee, if you missed the first episode there this week, you can catch it tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on OWN, the Oprah Winfrey Network, and the next original episode next Wednesday, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific. That will be the regular time period. Check your local listings to where OWN is available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online as well as the network, here's where you go, www.oprah.com. www.oprah.com. Greenlee, produced by Lionsgate. Craig Wright, thank you again for joining us. Pleasure to have you. Congratulations on the start to the show. Hopefully a wonderful run in store, and we wish you and Oprah, Clement, cast and crew, the very, very best.
Thank you so much for having us on the show. And everyone, please tune in next Wednesday at 10 to see episode 4. We just are so grateful for your interest in the show, and we look forward to a long, long conversation.
Absolutely, Craig. It's been a pleasure to have you with us. Take care. All the greatest.
Okay, bye. You too.
Craig Wright, Emmy nominated creator, writer, executive producer of Greenleaf, joining us live from Los Angeles. And once again, the episode that you missed earlier in the week, you can catch it tonight, 8 p.m. Pacific time. New episode Wednesday, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific. Thanks to both Craig and Sharon Martin from Snap, who joined us earlier in the hour. Remember Snap? The 300th episode is this Sunday at 9 on Oxygen. Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we'll have David Sternberg, the former head of Fox Sports in Espanol. He is now overseeing the Rugby Channel, which you can find on Roku, Apple TV, and Google Chromecast. And on the second half of the hour, we'll have the author of the brand new book, 1 Year of Reality and How It Nearly Killed Me, My Life Behind the Scenes, Deborah Wool. And don't forget, we're giving you 3 episodes of the program next week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, all this hour. Coming up on Wednesday, we'll have the recent winner of the American Black Film Festival Best TV Screenplay Award, Corinda Kiki McKnight. Her program, Bad Dad Rehab, premieres in 2 weeks on TV One. Plus, we'll have the editor of the popular website, Video News, Will Richmond, talking about where smart TVs and smart TV devices are going. If you came in late on today's show, or you want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage, www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And over this weekend, check out our podcast version. You'll find it on iTunes. You can also, if you have Apple TV 2.0, catch the iTunes podcast app, our show, or the Blog Talk Radio shows there. Either way, download it to your smartphone or tablet. Take it on the go wherever you are going. Remember, we love hearing from you. So email me with your thoughts about today's program or your thoughts in general about where TV is at and where it's going. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Please include your name and where you're from. Remember, you can also find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter at UBTSimonTWBT. At UBTSimonTWBT. We love hearing from you, because what you say matters. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not simply those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associates are Amy Domenico and Candace Williams. Andy Stowe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, the creator of this very enterprise, Mr. Alan Levy. Tomorrow We Televised is brought to you today by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken entertainment and information. Remember, if you want to sign up for a 30-day trial, it's audibletrial.com/televised. But Tomorrow We Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful weekend. Be back with you Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio. Be safe and be great out there. And until next time, stay well and stay tuned.